November 8, Mike Juliet Sierra testing. K8LDF, K8RVB. Good morning, Chris. K8LDF, K8RVP. I don't know if you can bump your power up at all, but you're in there.
I just pull out of our street on the main road here on Auburn. It might get better. Still have that center mountain kind of so. No time for antenna radio play. That project will probably be time next year in spring. Yeah, sorry about being late. My truck's been parking out in the outside, haven't been able to park in the garage. Motorcycle sitting right in the middle, and also the snow thrower. I got a skis and a bike and fiddle around with the snow thrower. How's the signal now?
It's still fluttering, but I can make you out. Yeah, they've got this repeater linked in up by you, and they got the Bay City, the 3-1 linked in up by you. Yeah, I'm working from home. I switched from supporting Delphi, where I used to have to go up to NextEar there sometimes, to working at Diplomat Pharmacy in Flint, doing their IT support. And about 4 years ago, Diplomat got bought by Optum Healthcare, which is part of United Healthcare. And they said we can work at home. I still have an office I can go into in Flint. But we have another guy that supports that site. So the only time I really have to go in is if I want to go in and visit. I can go in and work with Craig. If he'll send an email, say he's going to be working in the office, so I'll go in and work in the office so we can hang out. We've been working together for like 30 years. So I followed him from supporting Delphi to supporting Diplomat. He left, and then about a year later, I went over there, which is good because Delphi got all broke up in little pieces. There's not much left, so I left at the right time. But, I've only gone into the office 6 times this year, a couple times just to go in and hang out and visit with him and work in the office. And then I went in a couple times. He was on vacation, and they had problems at the site. They have a huge shipping pharmacy with a conveyor system and stuff, and it went down a couple times, and I went in and had to get it back up and running while he was on vacation.
Well, look at it this way, convenience of being at home, safe on data, not out on wintry road, you got people to deal with that don't know how to drive in Michigan weather when they were born and raised in Michigan. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're still working. That's kind of goofy on how Delphi stuff all broke up like that. Excuse me. But, that's working out good for you. So how's your allergies been? I remember you have to go in an awful lot to get shot during certain times of the year. Are you still dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. I started getting allergy shots when I was 10. And some people are lifers, and some people can wean off of them. I've tried 3 times to wean off of them and with poor results, so I was right back on. I go into Flint once a month and get an allergy shot. It hasn't been too bad. Only had one problem. Spring, all the pollen bothers me. And in the fall, when all the goldenrod or ragweed comes out, that bothers me. So my wife, she likes to have the windows open, and July is about the only month during the summer where there's no allergies. I can have the windows open all I want. Well, in October, we had a day where it was in the 70s, so I'm like, I'm going to open the windows, but it was super windy, and it didn't go well. Started having some wheezing, and it almost was turned into like bronchitis, which I haven't had since 2016, so yep, guess I won't open the windows. It can bother me when the pollen's out from the ragweed, or it can bother me when the leaves start falling, and the mold and stuff from the leaves could bother me sometimes. So inside the house is my safe haven during allergy season, so we just keep the windows closed normally. But, yeah, it is nice working from home, especially when it's cold out. I don't have to go out and scrape the car or warm the car up or risk getting hit or something with slippery conditions and somebody spinning out. Even though I did it for 25, 26 years, driving to work every day, Troy, Auburn Hills, Brighton, Saginaw, Flint, luckily never had an incident during all those years. KB8RBP.
KB8LDM. Very good. Yeah. And you put some miles on, that's for sure. A lot of road time. That's all right. The less out here, the better. So many people that you still see texting while they're driving, and they're all over the damn road. It's like, holy cow, man. You can stay in front of me, way in front. Oh, what a bummer on those allergies. Yeah, there was a guy at work that had issues with allergies. He actually was one of the lucky ones that was able to get weaned off of his medication. And actually, taken a prescription tablet of some sort. So, yeah, it worked out for him on that. Too bad for you, though. That's got to be a heck of a note to have all the windows shut. Kind of like the boy in a plastic bubble there, Mike. Oh, yeah. Well, my youngest daughter, Carolyn, she has allergy issues, but not to the extreme. So, yep, during the summer, keep the furnace filter changed a lot and vacuum the ducts a lot, you know, and keeping things dust-free. And yeah, when she comes up north for up at the lake, this summer was full of goldenrod. It was everywhere. And, it was even affecting me. Man, my eyes were itchy and red. And holy cow. That stuff was bad. So, anyways, speed limit on the road that I'm on is supposed to be 50, and I've got people in front of me going 40, but that's fine because there's like patchy ice here and there on the road with
blowing snow, polishing the road. Yeah, sometimes just the dusting is worse than getting 4 or 5 inches, because it's just enough that it comes down on the road, and then the car tires warm it up a little bit, and then it freezes. And then it gets really icy. I mean, I listen to my police scanner all the time. I hear the fire department going out on accidents, or ambulances going out on the accidents here on 23. And it's like, man, there's hardly anything out there. But it was just enough to glaze the road over, but not enough for the salt trucks to come out real early. But yeah, like I say, I've driven on all those conditions. There was one day when I was heading up to Flint. It was the same thing, just a little bit of snow, maybe a half an inch. And I was going up 23, and there was a jackknife semi. So we all had to come to a stop. And it was so slippery that all the cars started sliding towards the shoulder on the crown of the road. Even my car, I start sliding towards the shoulder, and as soon as you get to the edge, you stop. And it was the coolest thing, though. They had the police department, 4 police officers came out, and they walked down the expressway, which they were having a hard time not falling. They divided the cars on one side and the semis on the other, and they let the cars go around behind the jackknife semis so we could keep moving. And all the semis had to get over on the other side because they couldn't get through. They couldn't fit until they got a wrecker and got it out. But I thought that was the coolest thing. I could have sat there for 2 hours waiting for them to pull that truck out to clear the road, but nope, they let us go around. And that was probably one of the best winter experiences I've had. KB8RVP.
And speaking of sliding around, you know, come up to a four-way stop, and you know how it is. Nobody knows who's going to go. Everybody's slipping and sliding, can't get traction or hurry for their stop. So everybody's heating it up. Well, that's good to see. They got to understand that yeah, people go around the semi like that. Yeah, you know it's slippery when they're out there walking around and they look like a bunch of penguins.
And that's exactly what they look like. It was funny. But it was nice that they let the cars go around so we weren't just stuck there backed up. Closest exit was behind us by like 4 or 5 miles, so it couldn't just turn us around and get us off the highway. We were stuck. Yeah, I've seen it all. One thing I started doing back around 2016 is buying winter tires. So for my wife's car and my car. Her car has all-season tires for the summer, spring, summer, and fall, and then the wintertime, I have a set of wheels and tires that I put on with winter tires, which are a lot softer rubber. There's more silica in the compound, so, I mean, it could be 20 below zero. You can go out there and push on that tread. It's nice and soft. You get good grip. It's almost like driving in the summertime. Same thing for my car. My car has summer tires. And then winter tires. The summer tires are only good down to 41 degrees. Below that, they just turn into hockey pucks. But the winter tires, I don't spin, I don't slip, I don't slide. You just take off and go. Worth every penny. And the nice thing, too, it's more money up front to get started with the process, but I put them on and off myself. I know people that have winter tires that they have their summer tires unmounted and then have to take it in and have the summer or the winter tires mounted, and you got to pay like $60, $80 every time you do that. I just have a stack. I jack the car up, switch the tires, and I'm good for the winter. And I've never had to use my deductible for an accident since I've been doing that. And it's about the cost of a deductible to get started with winter and summer tires, but your summer tires are all season, last twice as long, and your winter tires last twice as long because you're only using them half of the year.
Yep, I understand that. Yeah, it's good that you got rims on those tires, you know, the other four. Yeah, it gets costly, man. Every time you take them off, pop them on. Yeah. I just had to buy tires for this pickup truck here. I get over the price. $1,300, $1,400. It's like, no, I'm not paying that. Did a lot of shopping around and found some all-terrain units. They feel pretty good under the snow. Of course, nothing really tracks good on this ice, but got a set of these four tires and they're really super aggressive. They're a little noisy on the highway when you're going like 75 miles an hour. But then it's to the point where it's driving you insane. Just enough to know that you got different tires there. You know, they're singing a little bit. And I'm spending $757, I think it was, grand total off the door for these tires. I'll send you a picture of what they look like once I arrive to work. Yeah, and plastic tires are expensive. Bought tires for our daughter as a Christmas present last year, and then the year before that we got the other daughter tires for her car for a Christmas present. You know, practical. So, yeah. It was nice having the weather that we had. Sooner or later we're going to get the snow. Anyway, what else have you been doing? New radio equipment, antennas, working at a repeater site, anything like that?
K8LBF, K8RVP. Yep, went to three different sites this summer helping the guys on this link system. They're setting up a link through the whole state with microwave dishes, repeater site to repeater site, and so I was able to get out three different weekends and help them work on some of the repeater sites. Some here, one's just south of me here in Fenton, just in the Livingston County, and one up in Flint, one out in Lapeer. So, try to do my part. No new equipment for me. Still using everything I've had for years. This radio I'm on right here, my wife won at a ham radio swap meet. Jeez, it's probably been 12 years ago. I'm still on the original battery pack. I've got two battery packs for it. Keep it charged. My base radio, I upgraded that maybe 6 years ago, so it'll do 2 meter, it'll do 440, and it'll also do DMR digital on 440. There's a repeater here in Fenton that's linked in around the state on DMR, so I can get on that one from my base radio as well. When did you get the radio mounted in your truck?
Quite a while ago. Let me see if I'm in the repeater box. Okay. Because I noticed when I was pulling up the traffic light arrow is like losing the repeater. But yeah, quite some time ago, ended up putting the radio in the truck. Was quite a lot of fun trying to figure out where to put the base part of it, and then the word of the bulkhead where I could stick that. It's working. That's the main thing. But, not really happy with the antenna mount that I have. Basically, I had from before, you know. Want to mount it up where the third brake light's at. It worked out a lot better for me. Let's see. I picked up a new used radio at the Bay City Swap or Mr. Swapfest. A2FE897, I think it is. Mode, all band transceiver, 160 meters through 10 meters, got 6 meters on it.
Bay City's linked in here too. The guys that run this link, they took over the maintenance for that repeater as well. So it's linked in, so that one might do better than the Saginaw at that, when you get where you're going. Yep.
Guys never park. Everybody starts to
support. Yeah, for my job, I support, I think we got 4,000 call center agents. They also work from home. They take the calls from our patients, members, whatever you want to call them. And so I remote into, I call them, I remote into their computers and fix software, fix problems, install software if they need something. I was able to make you out pretty noisy right there, but I was able to make you out, Chris. Have a good day at work. Careful sliding in the door there, and 73KB8RVP.
KCAMJQ Mobile. KCAMJQ Mobile. Are you able to hear it, Mitch? Yep, over. WAAWQ.
KCAMJQ, I hear you.
Okay, real cool. You might be familiar with that on the way back too. Yeah, the other one I think you were talking about is the link system on the west side of the state.
Yes, they're heavy over there. There's, I think, Jackson, and I'm not sure where over this area. It's kind of lacking on the east side, yeah.
It's pretty heavily well used over there.
Well, on occasion. Yeah, on occasion.
Yeah, like I said, I hate to use more repeaters than I need to.
Yeah, I was trying to dial that system in just to see if I could hear what's going on where I'm headed. But, yeah, I don't know if I... I was looking at my the map on my phone, and I wasn't able to bring anything up, and I wasn't hearing anything, so I don't know if I'm out of range or something's wrong with a sight or two or something. I don't know.
Now, what sight were you looking for? A particular one, Traverse City or something?
No, I figured from where I was at the time, I might be able to hear either Jackson or I can't remember the other one, but I had two different frequencies. Like I said, this radio is the ICOM 2730. I could put, you know, listen to two sides of, you know, two things at the same time.
Ah, cool. Sounds great. Yeah. Are you in a truck or a car, Chip?
Well, right now I'm driving an Oldsmobile Privada. Yeah. I have several. I got 13 different vehicles. A big 1997 Peterbilt being one of them. I drive truck over the road. And, normally, if I'm going where I know I'm hitting snow, I've got five square body Chevy trucks, 4x4s. They go through absolutely everything. I've never been able to get them stuck. But they're having their issues right now, and I don't feel like dealing with it, so I'm driving the pint-sized 4x4.
Yeah, my pint-sized 4x4 is the Jeep Cherokee. That's about all I need. It rides a lot better. I have a Jeep Wrangler, and that just beat the heck out of me.
KCMJQ. I like, I've always grown up with General Motors products. You know, I've got a six, I was brought home from the hospital being born in a 69 Chevelle Supersport. And I grew up believing it was going to be mine when I turned 16 until Dad traded it in on a family battle wagon when I was 9. And so anyway, I ended up buying a 68 Chevelle that I still got. Got my grandfather's 76 Malibu. Like I said, I got pickup trucks, two Chevy Blazers, an 85 and an 89 Blazer, an 85 and an 86 pickup, and I just bought a GMC, 86 GMC Suburban. I call that the bus. That's the bus. It's on 34-inch suspension lift. But anyhow, I always like my Chevy products. I do like them square. I think they were Cherokees, the square body Jeeps. Until a friend of mine with a garage got one in one day, and I'm over there helping him work on it, and found out that the motor was trash. You can't replace the motor. You keep buying it.
Oh, wow. WAA, WQU at the almost the 5 o'clock area. I got a couple things I got to do around the 5 o'clock. We got another 5 or 10 here, but I thought I'd let you know. I don't know when this particular repeater you're on right now reduces communications or not. But you sounded like you got a dozen or two dozen vehicles in your yard. Or was that just like what you had or what you have? When you talked, it might have been 10 or 20 cars you had.
No, I've got three houses. One of them I have, I can put five cars under roof. Then I've got another couple outside. It was sort of a business. I got a little parking pad. You know, somebody turned the house into a business. Now it's a house again, but I've still got the business facilities, you know. See, I've got a motor pool of my own going on. Yeah. A lot of projects.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. There for a while, I was thinking of repairing riding lawnmower that I had, which is a Craftsman. And after I looked into it, that's nothing compared to you and your cars. But I said, "The heck with this old piece of stuff. I'm going to." So I ended up with another lawnmower. I ended up with a zero-turn John Deere, so I never have looked back and regretted a thing.
Yeah, I just traded in a X-Mark zero-turn, an older X-Mark, for I downsized to a Craftsman Rider. I want to think it was like an LT1000 or so. I can't remember the numbers. I got real familiar with it because I went and as soon as I get it, I used it for a couple of months and seized up one of the bearings on the deck, so you know, I had to order that. And I had to repair a few things, long story short. I got real familiar with that. But yeah, I got a bunch of stuff. And this past summer, I bought... got two trailers. I needed something to work with, and bought a 15-foot enclosed cargo trailer, tandem axle, 7,000-pound cargo trailer that came with a rooftop air conditioner and electric inside and everything. Just got to plug it in. And not to be outdone, my fiance decided, well, you got your trailer, so she bought a travel trailer, 25-foot travel trailer.
Wow. Now that sounds, seems like work. My brother He gets into those kind of mechanical things. He's a mechanic anyway. But he gets into them things. And he, this summer, he got a snowblower for $5 or $10, you know, a yard sale or whatever. And he spent all summer with that snowblower and repainted it and did everything he could do to it. And apparently it's working really fine. So it was a good investment, you know. Of course, he brags about his $5 snowblower, but it looks nice. Well, Chick, I'm going to bow out here. I'm going to take care of the microwave here. So, unless you got something else, I'm going to say 73s. It's been nice riding with you. Hope you have a healthy, happy, and a safe week. 73s, man. Good riding with you. KC8MJQ, Mobile, WAAWQ. 73s, man.
KC8MJQ, Mobile. Maybe I'll talk to you on my way back home. Yeah, I'm coming up to Big Bridge now. KC8MJQ, clear.
So you're just coming up to the Zilwaukee now. You got probably another 40 miles easy to use this repeater if somebody else has time to talk with you. That's why I wanted to move over here for most of the northbounders. Have a good time, WAAWQ, clear in QRT.
Camp 80, well, monitoring. Camp 80, well, monitoring. I believe that was KF8LYO monitoring. This is KE8CZX.
Good evening there, CZX. No, that was a Kilo Foxtrot 8 Alpha Yankee Lima was the call sign there. How you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good. Mobile on the drive back from a band rehearsal and getting ready to get some music ready for tomorrow for my hallway karaoke that I do to entertain the students during the Christmas season.
Ah, well, very nice. Very nice. I'm just knee-deep in some trailer brake job here that I'm doing on my trailer. Not so fun, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of this squall, snow, slop and stuff we're actually going to get driving right now, and it's kind of drizzling. It was snowing a little bit earlier, but seeing lights of salt trucks ahead right now as I'm driving down the road, and definitely they're preparing for it.
Yeah, they like to do that. Yeah, I'm in Birch Run here, and it's snowing here where I'm at in the woods, about 5 miles west of town, but just lightly. I think it said we're supposed to get 2-3 inches tonight. Shouldn't be anything major.
Yeah, I was seeing the online news that I want to say it was Gaylord up north got 43 inches the other day. I'd say that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, those are different numbers, that's for sure. My I have a buddy, he's a deputy sheriff at the Grayling Sheriff's Office, and he said they had 14 inches 2 days ago, and then another 6 on top of that. So, yeah, he's in Grayling, just south of Gaylord there, but they got a bunch of snow there now. He sent a couple pictures. Looks great. I love snow. I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. I like how snow looks, but I'm not a real big fan of cold in general. I definitely like the warmer weather. And my hands, I don't know, I need to probably see a hand specialist because my hands get real numb and painful in the winter and that. And even during the rest of the year, my fingertips are real sensitive to accidental touch and bumps and whatnot, more so than I think is normal. So the winter's kind of rough on my hands especially, and I just like to be warm, so I'm not a big fan of the winter cold.
Well, I hear you. Yeah, everybody's got their thing. Some might say, man, if you were next to my wife, she'd say you have bad circulation, or if you were my brother, you'd say you have Raynaud's, which is a condition which affects the hand for cold, but you're just generally cold. Who knows? But if you don't like the cold, one has to ask. One begs the question, why are you in Michigan? Just out of curiosity. I always love it asking that question when I hear people say they don't like the cold so much. Why are you in Michigan? What's the reason?
Yeah, I guess I'm in Michigan because I was born here. And went to college here, and then that's where I met my wife, and we started a family, and I, been working the same career for 25 years, teaching, and it'd be a lot of work to move and reestablish somewhere else, I think. So I'm probably here until I retire and the kids are moved somewhere else, if that happens.
Yeah, I hear you on that. It is a lot of work to move, to get up and move. You got family, you got an established career. I get it. Nope, it's a perfectly good answer. It's a great answer. But I like to ask people that question because I hear it. So I hate the winter, but you live in Michigan. Why are you here? A lot of people can. It's pretty easy for some people to move, but no, I get it. It's the same for me. I like the cold. I'm in trying to be in the process of moving up to the UP, so I want colder and more snow, but it's hard enough for that. So yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, I have been other places that are warmer, and a lot of the places I've been that are warmer come a lot more humidity than we're used to here, and some places that don't have the humidity, they are more oven hot, and so, I don't know, we've got a pretty good here. Definitely is a beautiful state when you get out of the city and away from as much concrete and that, and so... It is only a few months of bitter cold, and then, you know, the rest of the year really is more manageable, so I can deal with it. I just don't prefer it.
Yeah, I saw the forecast. We're supposed to get maybe 2-3 inches or so overnight where I'm at specifically, but I'm also watching our camera on our property up in the UP where I'm building a barn. And we're going to hopefully retire to in the next 2 or 3 years. It's snowing to beat the band up there. There's a good at least 15 inches or so, and it's supposed to snow every day for the next 2 or 3 days, another 2, 3, 4 inches a day. It's coming down. I wish I was there. Honestly, I kind of do. I wish I was there.
Yeah, my goal someday is to have a bit of property around my house and be able to maybe actually be able to learn to hunt and do some hunting. I didn't come from a hunting family and got it took hunter safety, and my gosh, I was in my late 30s, maybe early 40s, can't remember now. But it took hunter safety definitely as an older adult with kids. And then I've been out hunting 3 times, saw a deer once, and missed it probably because I was not as focused as I should have been. And one time didn't see anything at all, and the other time just a dozen turkeys circling the field the whole day. So I'd like to actually be able to hunt and know what to do after I hit something, because I've only seen videos about that, so I need to find somebody that I can go with and learn what to do. But it'd be nice to have my own land so I don't have to worry about getting somewhere. But I am just turning into the driveway here, so appreciate the ride, and I'll be clear with your final. 73.
All right, yeah, I hear you on that. Yeah, I've been deer hunting since I was 16 in 1986, so I'm well-versed in those things. I turkey hunt, I do some other hunts, but yeah, it's an interesting experience. You definitely can benefit from people around you that know what they're doing, for sure. If you're just going out there and nobody else is around you that has known what to do, I can see how that would be a little bit intimidating, but keep at it. You'll get it. It comes natural. The whole process is good. 73s, my friend. Good chatting with you. This is KFA Day Wild. KFA Day Wild monitoring. KFA Day Wild monitoring. KFA Day Wild monitoring. KFA Day Wild monitoring. KFA Day Wild. Mobile and monitoring. KFA Day Wild monitoring.
KFA BRD.
BRD, how you doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad. Just relaxing and kind of getting mentally prepped to finish out the work week. How about you?
I'm right there with you, brother. I'm trying to get prepped for the week ahead.
So I haven't been out in a couple hours. The weather is bad as it's been predicted to be?
Well, I'm not sure where you're at, but where I'm at in Birch Run here, just a few miles west of town, it's snowing, but yeah, we're supposed to get a couple inches. No big deal.
Copy. I'm over here in Grand Ledge, just west of Lansing, so I know it's been snowing, but haven't really been out other than to look out on the porch, and that's it.
Yeah, I stepped outside a little bit ago. We had about an inch and a half or so, so I think we're supposed to get a few inches here tonight, but a few inches. A few inches ain't no big deal.
Oh, agreed. I agree. I just hope they get the roads salted and all that before I have to head to Howell tomorrow. I get to start my day in town, and then after I'm done with the main job, I got to drive out to Howell and do a temporary furnace set, so, yeah.
Well, that sounds like some fun. A temporary furnace set. I guess I'm wondering what that means.
Well, when a homeowner needs a new furnace and they don't want to pay for a temporary repair, and our schedule is out, you know, 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, what our company will do is they'll send us out with their new furnace, and then we'll pull the old furnace out and scoot it to the side, and we will connect everything in a temporary but safe fashion. So, you know, we'll wire up the electrical connections and then tape them up. We'll do a temporary vent, duct board for, you know, to make sure that's pushing the air where it needs to go. And, you know, everything is just in a temporary fashion. It's just, you know, won't look good, but it's completely safe. And then we come back in a couple weeks and finish up the job.
All right. I get that. So, as an HVAC guy, let me ask you a question. Do you deal with any old school fuel oil boilers?
Yeah, fuel oil is not something I've got any experience with other than tearing them out.
Yeah, all right. That's kind of what I thought. We bought a house up in UP several years ago, and I tried to get some contractors out there to, you know, clean the fuel oil thing, and we're gonna redo the whole house and tear it out. But in the meantime, I'm like, I just need this thing to work for another few years. And people were just like, we'll come out, we'll contact you when we'll come. Nobody wants to come out. Nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, I wish I could be of help, but yeah, I don't know much about the fuel oil. I know that this is my extent of knowledge on the operations of fuel oil. I know that they run hotter than a normal furnace, and I know that if you run out of fuel, you can go down to the gas station and get by on a couple gallons of diesel.
Diesel and fuel oil are basically the same thing, and jet fuel, same thing. Jet fuel, diesel, and and fuel oil, pretty much all the same. But yeah, I had to kind of teach myself how to. I have a manometer. I have a pyrometer that I can check the. I did all the things and cleaned the whole thing out. I basically had to just do it myself, and I got her done. But she's running, but I don't like it. Yeah, it's going to get tore out in the next couple of years or so.
Oh, there you go. You going with like propane, or are you going with wood burner, or for the replacement?
I'm actually not sure what I'm going to do exactly yet. I'd like to do something efficient. I mean, I'm not some, you know, super green guy, but I like to be efficient. But yeah, I'm not sure yet. Not quite sure. Lake Superior's right there. I kind of want to do some kind of, you know, do a thermal thing, but I'm not sure how. I got to do some math on that.
Now, just a suggestion. Heat pumps, air-to-air heat pumps with a gas backup. That is, if you ask me, that is the way to go. So natural or propane gas as your backup. You can run the heat pump, and it'll basically just run the air conditioner in reverse. It'll heat the inside and cool the outside. And you can run that to probably 20-25 degrees before it starts becoming a little bit hit or miss. And then you switch over to gas.
Yeah, I'm well familiar with heat pumps. I actually put one here where we're at now in Bridge Run here, and it runs down to about 30, below 30. It's pretty rough, because it wants to keep reversing itself to do a de-ice cycle. So yeah, below 30 it wants to keep icing up, and it wants to reverse. It reverses itself, and it starts blowing cold air into the house because it's doing a de-ice cycle. It's like this thing's about good to about 30. Yeah, I set it to 35 actually. I set my thermostat to 35 for the heat pump, and then the propane here takes over after that. We actually have wood heat too, but yeah, it's all rigmarole, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it does save some money. I mean, I've got a heat pump here. I've got a mini split, so I've got a three-headed mini split, and then I have my regular gas furnace. And tonight I just turned on my gas furnace, and I'm turning down the heads on the mini split. But some of the newer stuff, the higher SEER ratings. You can get it down to, well, they have systems that will run down to like 4 degrees before it starts losing capacity. So, but yeah, that was just a suggestion because, you know, I like mine, the fact that I can, you know, substitute using gas and save that little bit of money until I absolutely have to.
Yeah, I hear that. The heat pump we put in here was about 2014, I think, 2015, something like that. And it was the highest, you know, SEER thing you could get. I don't remember the numbers at the time, but yeah, this one's good till about 30. Yeah, below 30, it's a struggle. It wants to keep. The biggest problem is it wants to keep reversing itself to de-ice itself. And that's the problem. At 20, it actually does better than it does at 30. But at 20, that's its lowest thing. It'll actually do okay at 20. But at 30, you know, when the dew point's right there, it just kind of wants to keep reversing itself to de-ice it. At 40, it's great. At 45, 50, it's awesome. But yeah, yeah. 20 is the lowest that this one will do. It basically blowing about 70 degree air at that point. It runs constantly at 20. So I basically just set it at 35.
Oh yeah, and I can kind of give you a little insight into why it does better at 20 than it does at 30. is because there's more moisture in the air at 30 degrees, and it's freezing that moisture onto the coil. When you get down to you get down to 20 degrees, there's very little moisture in there, so it doesn't have anything to freeze.
Yep, I'm very well with you there, my friend. I'm pretty well versed in that. I know it. I know how it works. So, but it's nice to hear it from another source, so my wife doesn't think I'm crazy.
Oh yeah. No, I didn't mean to. Like preach or anything. It's just, you know, some people just have what they have and they don't know or haven't cared to how it does it or why it does whatever. So I just share information when I can.
No, I like the heat pump. It does really well in the shoulder seasons, but yeah, when it gets cold. Yeah, I think you're right. I think some of the newer stuff does do, you know, like you said, down to 4 or so, but I don't know. I don't have that equipment. So I have the equipment that does 28. At 20, it's blowing 70 degree air, and I basically switched to other means at that point.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there's a balance point there where it becomes inefficient, so yeah. Yep, we'll see how much of a workout all the systems get this year. So far it's looking pretty promising that the heating systems will get an actual workout.
Yeah, well, last year we didn't need much. We didn't get much below 30 last year.
Yeah, I felt that last year. Was about 3 months worth of 3-day work weeks, and yeah, I could deal without that this year.
Well, I'm a snow guy. I like snow, so the more snow, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I don't know if I said it, but name's Jim over here, Juliet Indigo Mike, and I better identify again, KF8BRD.
Yeah, my name's Ken here, KF8EYL, so, yeah, BRD, you're later than me, so you're newer, you're a newbie.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll just call it class of 2024, huh? Yeah, I got my ticket in June. I tested on June 20th and had it that following week, Wednesday, got my call.
That's pretty funny you mentioned June 20th. That's my birthday. Yeah, I got my ticket in April there, so AYD and... What did you say, BRD or something? Oh, yeah, yeah. A couple months. So, yeah, class of 2024. I agree with that.
Now, what class did you go for? Tech or general or?
I just went for the tech. I might go for a general and a little bit, or maybe in a few months, but I just went for the tech at the time.
There you go. Yeah, I suggest going for the general if you can, because that makes, there's a lot of fun to be had on the HF side, talking around the world from a little 20-watt radio in my case. Little Zygu G90 does really well.
Yeah, they offered me the tech license at the same, really, you can take this for free, it's the next one up, and you can take it for free right now. I'm like, I don't know, I didn't study for this, so I didn't do it, but I could do it. Yeah, it might be fun. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, there might be some HF stuff I might like to get into.
Well, sir, I think I got to start wrapping things up around here and get ready for that work week finish that I was speaking about. So it was nice chatting with you. Maybe we'll catch you out here again. Is this a repeater you tend to frequent quite a bit?
I do when I'm down here. I spend quite a bit of time in the UP in the summertime, but and this time of year I'm down here, so yeah, this is KF80. Wow.
All right. Well, you have a good night there, sir. 73, and maybe we'll catch you out here again. KF8BRD, I'm going to go ahead and go clear. 73.
Yeah, good jam with you. Have a good night. 73, KF80, well.